Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Good afternoon and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but we got Evan on the board, and you fine listeners on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You are listening to Dueling Tangents on Devil Radio 92.7 FM. WTTN 1580 AM here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. You're also listening to the program on locally grown radio. That's 97.5 FM WFHR 1320 AM out of Wisconsin Rapids. On the Shaw, 101 FM WAUK 540 AM out of Waukesha. And Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM 1230 AM out of Wausau, Wisconsin. So, Evan, how you doing this afternoon, buddy?
Oh, it's so hot. Oh,
what?
So hot.
Why are you complaining about the heat, man?
I don't have air conditioning in my car.
That's it.
No, I'm doing well, man.
Windows down, then.
Doing well?
Get a nice breeze.
Bright outside. It's a black car. It's parked in the sun.
You got to find a different place to park it then, too.
Yeah, I do. But it's a fine day in Wisconsin.
Yeah, man. I'm just going to say, I'm not going to complain about the heat because the days are getting shorter.
It's dark when I leave here.
Fall is going to be here before we know it. I hate to say that. I enjoy it. I was playing volleyball last night, and it's like the perfect temperature right now for volleyball in the evenings because it's still pretty warm. But it's not so hot that it's disgustingly hot.
You know, the sand has absorbed some of that solar energy, you know?
Yeah, and then my body absorbs some of the sand. So it's always an interesting dust-off period before you know you get back in the car. And then there's still a patch on my forearm right here as I like sat down in the car and I like accidentally brushed it. And I was like, there's sand
everywhere.
All over my car now
because
I missed
everywhere.
That spot. But we go on tangents here. If you want to join the show, 844-967-2789. You can call or text that number. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. Or you can choose to go follow the show, the stations on Facebook and Twitter at all of their respective handles. So go check them out on social media. Give us a follow. Stay tuned and interact with us because we'll read tweets and we keep an eye on all of that stuff, folks. So we got some Wisconsin headlines that we are going to get into. Yesterday, there was new Marquette University Law School polling. We're going to touch base a little bit on that. And yesterday, as I was getting on the air, there was a breaking story about an update in the Gable mess. So we know a little bit more of the details now. It's not just being dropped on the wire. It's more written up and reported on. So we can talk a little bit more about that as well. And then I'm going to dive into some stories, you know, of what's going on in the state of Wisconsin and some of the things that are not being addressed by our state government because the Republican legislature is on a 10-month paid vacation and choosing not to go into legislative session from the beginning of March until the end of the year. We're not going to see legislative action to address the problems that Wisconsinites are facing, Republicans and Democrats alike. But Wisconsinites are facing these problems, and their legislature is not going to come back into session until the soonest, like January 3rd or 4th. I forget what the first Monday of January is next year. But the Republicans right now are saying those are 2023 problems. We're not going to address those problems now. So we're going to dive into some of those stories as well. But first off, I want to lead off with an update on that Gable mess saga because...
Which, by the way, excellent hashtag. I mean,
it's
just
a
masterclass. Oh, it's good.
I wish I could say it was mine. It's not. Definitely seen it on social media before.
Fair.
So I'm not going to claim credit for it, but I think it does perfectly... It describes what Michael Gableman is and the work that he has done here for the last 14 months. Because we had a few of the quotes out of Judge Frank Remington here in Dane County yesterday as we were on the air. This story was breaking. And so I got to read some of those quotes yesterday. If you missed any portion of that show, you can go check out the podcast at devilradio927.com. You can also go to civicmedia.us and see a full list of all of the podcasts there for the Civic Media Podcast Library. But I got to share some of those quotes, and now we know a little bit more. We also know that Wisconsinites are going to be fined $24,000 in this one specific lawsuit for the actions of the Office of the Special Counsel and Michael Gableman. And Michael Gableman's not going to pick up that tab. He's not. It's going to be Wisconsin taxpayers that are responsible to pay that $24,000 in penalties for 12 days that it took for the Office of the Special Counsel to satisfy conditions that Judge Frank Remington put out. And so this is the headline over at the Wisconsin State Journal, written up by Mitchell Schmidt. Dane County judge rules Michael Gableman no longer in contempt, but kicks out of state lawyers from the case. So that was the overarching headline news yesterday. Is the attorneys representing Michael Gableman in these lawsuits no longer allowed to represent the Office of Special Counsel here in the state of Wisconsin for the Assembly Republicans? And Remington was, he did not mince words. He did not hold back. He had a number of scathing quotes talking about how the investigation, shoot, Evan said the I word.
You've been doing great, too. You've been doing such a good job.
I was reading it in the story, and I didn't.
You know what, though?
I didn't think second nature.
That's referential. I think you're off the hook. I think you're off the hook for this one.
I blame the reporter, because some of them are still calling it an investigation. I like to see investigation in quotes.
At least.
And that's hard to convey over radio. I can't do the air quotes in front of my words.
Well, you can, and I'll just tell you. I'll let the people know. Scare quotes.
There you go. Evan's going to narrate the scare quotes. But there was effectively no work done. Michael Gableman accomplished nothing, because in these open records requests, nothing was produced. Not because they were dragging they did drag their feet. Michael Gableman was found in contempt of the court for 12 days because he dragged his feet and he didn't want to show what was there. And essentially, what this lawsuit shows now is for 4 months, from August to December of last year, 2021, Michael Gableman and his office sent back and forth emails of stories of reporting and hearsay on allegations of fraud without really investigating any fraud. They were relying on other people, reporters and other offices looking into this. So they themselves were not doing any work, any original work. And then they sent back each other drafts of speeches that Michael Gableman could go give. That's what taxpayers were paying, roughly $11,000 a month for Gableman, and another close to $50,000, I believe, a month in other salaries for individuals that were working in the Office of the Special Counsel. So not only do we get stuck with a $24,000 bill for the contempt of court charge that Michael Gableman received for dragging his feet and not handing over these documents that showed that nothing was done, it accomplished nothing in those 4 months from August to December of last year. We were also that entire time paying the guy to not do any of this work. There was understanding by a lot of people trying to seek these records that Michael Gableman wasn't doing anything. It was a charade. And for all of those months last year, the media outlets in the state of Wisconsin called it the I word. Some of them still are to this day. They'll call it a review. They give it euphemisms and give it authentication of actually doing something and going out and trying to find this. And that is why we have so many people here in the state of Wisconsin and around the country that believe this big lie, believe that the 2020 election was stolen. It shows up in yesterday's Marquette University Law School polling, where you still see Republican voters in the state of Wisconsin not believing in the results of the 2020 election. It is insane that this was allowed to go on for 14 months. And the lack of work product, again, is it's important to point out, is not what brought this to an end. What brought Gableman's work here in the state of Wisconsin to an end was the fact that he flew too close to the sun. He endorsed Robin Voss's primary opponent and got on the wrong side of politics for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss. That is the only reason this is still not going on and being vigorously defended by private right-wing attorneys that can no longer represent the Office of the Special Counsel, and Michael Gableman has been fired. So James Bob, one of the several attorneys that were being that was being employed to represent the Office of the Special Counsel, green-lighted by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, was being paid $450 an hour. That was one of the lawyers that represented Gableman on this lawsuit, this one specific lawsuit. And so those are all the legal fees that we also are still going to come to the Wisconsin taxpayers. All of those bills are still being sent. There are still other open lawsuits here in the state of Wisconsin, in Dane County and elsewhere, that Michael Gableman was fumbling through the charade. And we are still going to have to hear about this guy for the coming weeks and months because he was allowed to run rampant for 14 months, undermining the election integrity in the state of Wisconsin and producing individuals like Harry Waite. And now Harry Waite is Robin Voss's next problem because Harry Waite is contesting the Racine County election results from last Tuesday. We're going to dive into a little bit more on that, as well as some updates about the Marquette University Law School polling. And like I said, some of the issues that are not being addressed right now by the Wisconsin Republican-led legislature, because they're on a 10-month vacation. But Wisconsinites are still facing problems that they are looking for their government to help solve. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but got Evan on the board and you on the phone lines. 844-967-2789. You're listening on Devil Radio 92.7, the Shaw 101 FM, Bull Falls Radio, and locally grown radio. I'll be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. He's playing Superman, helping improve this network of signals you are listening to my voice on right now. Here in Madison, Devil Radio 92.7 in Waukesha, the Shaw 101 FM in Wausau, Bull Falls Radio 98.9 FM, and in Wisconsin Rapids, 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Our boy's got a pretty sweet duster, though. Have you seen this thing?
The duster? What are you talking about?
Oh, that coat. That coat, man. You haven't seen the coat?
I have not seen the coat. Oh, it's August. Why is he wearing Oh, man.
This duster.
Okay. I know what you're talking about now.
It's pretty nice.
Yeah. He's a good looking guy.
They let the sleeves out for him. Can you just imagine how well this thing fits?
But folks, this is Dueling Tangents. If you want to share your tangent at any time, the phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. So we've gotten to this point after the last 14 months of Michael Gableman running roughshod across the state of Wisconsin, and we've seen an emboldening of actors around the state that are now just going to say, well, if the former state Supreme Court Justice and the Office of Special Counsel can just go and kind of conduct his own reviews or whatever you want to call it. Charade, I think, is the best term. But if he can do that, we can kind of take matters into our own hands as well. And we can try to show the vulnerabilities, I believe is what it's referred to by one Harry Waite down in Racine County. And I find it interesting because you got out local outlets like Fox 6 in Milwaukee. They refer to it as the the Harry Waite is the man who requested bogus absentee ballots. Interesting, when they were reporting on claims of widespread voter fraud in 2020.
You got to find it somewhere.
It's fraud. They have a chance to call it fraud and right in front of them. The man admitted to the election fraud, to requesting absentee ballots that were not his, including for Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and for Racine Mayor Corey Mason, just to name a few. And they don't call it fraud. They call it bogus absentee ballots. The man admitted to the crime. They're fraudulent.
Man.
And you call them bogus. But reading from a piece over at Fox 6, this is what Harry Waite is up to. Waite is trying to prove election fraud amidst a breaking election law by requesting absentee ballots for others. He said he was exposing a security loophole, prompting the state to investigate him for voter fraud related to these bogus ballot requests. They're not bogus ballot requests. They were actual ballot requests that you did illegally. It's fraud. I don't understand. And fine. But now, outside of that, because we knew this happened before the August 9th primary last week. This came out as a revelation, I believe, the first couple days of August, leading up to the partisan primary here in the state of Wisconsin. And now that Harry Waite has, he was endorsing the Assembly Speaker Robin Voss's primary opponent, Adam Steen, in that race in Wisconsin's 63rd Assembly District. And Steen almost unseated Robin Voss. Less than 300 votes separated the two. And now Harry Waite is contesting the election results in all of Racine County, which includes the 63rd Assembly District. And he's kind of just making up claims here, too, about the ability for him to contest the election results. None of this is actually... It proves the point that former President Donald Trump, there were individuals after the 2020 election was like, what's the like, let's humor him in these claims of fraudulent elector fraudulent votes. There's a chance for him. That what's the harm? What's the worst that could happen? And we saw what the worst could happen was. And that was January 6, 2021, when insurrectionists stormed the U.S. Capitol trying to intervene with official proceedings of Congress certifying the 2020 election results. And that's the worst that can happen. But one of the other side effects is this, what's happening right now. You now see the Republicans are being hit from the right, from more conservative members of their party, for floating out there that this is just something you can do after elections now. Harry Waite, Adam Steen, Michael Gableman, Timothy Rantham, they're all in the same vein. They are contesting any election they lose, and the only election they see as legitimate is an election they win. Unless they win, it's an illegitimate election. And that, folks, is fascism. When you say that a fair and free election that was conducted, like last Tuesday's here in the state of Wisconsin, if you only claim that it's legitimate when you win, and anytime you lose, you contest the results, you are no longer in a free and open democratically run government. You're not. And this is the ramification of humoring the former president when he's tweeting out saying that the election was stolen from him by not holding individuals accountable for going into an undisclosed location and being moved from that undisclosed location to the Wisconsin Capitol to sign fraudulent documents that the former guy won, even though the election results in the state of Wisconsin showed that Joe Biden won the state's 10 electoral votes. When you don't hold people accountable for those crimes, this is what we get. We now get a conservative member, got his own organization, Hot Government, down in Racine for honest, open, and transparent. Contesting the election results for Racine County, the county that houses our incumbent assembly speaker, because his candidate didn't win. And we're going to see more and more of this until people like Harry Waite and the fraudulent electors here in the state of Wisconsin are held accountable for their crimes. This is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got other Wisconsin headlines we're going to dive into, as well as your phone calls. 844-967-2789. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but got Evan on the board. And we are sitting, waiting for some action from the Republican-led Wisconsin legislature. And you may ask, on what topic? Well, on so many topics, because there's a lot going on right now. It's never really a slow news day here in the state of Wisconsin. And I don't anticipate many slow news days at all between now and, I believe, 82 days from now for the November general election. Just doesn't seem characteristic of the state. It's going to be an interesting long haul over the next 11 and a half weeks, just shy of 12 weeks, between now and when Wisconsin voters go to the polls and determine who will be the governor for the next 4 years and who will represent the state in the U.S. Senate for the next six, and numerous other races up and down the ballot. It is going to be a slugfest from now and then. But for the legislature here in the state of Wisconsin, not really. They're taking it easy. They've got their feet up. They stopped doing any legislative work back in the first week of March. 10-month paid vacation. Minimum of $50,000 salaries for all of those legislators. And they're not doing a whole lot of legislating. And by a whole lot, I mean none. They are doing none. There are zero legislative calendar days for the remainder of 2022. Not happening. And there's a number of issues that Wisconsinites are looking for action on. Looking for the state government to be able to provide relief. And in many ways, Republicans in Wisconsin, elected officials, not Republican voters, not Republican-leaning individuals, elected officials with the Republican Party behind their name are the reason for why we're not going to see that relief. So let's take a dive into a number of the stories that we know the GOP is not acting on right now, and therefore we're not going to be able to have functioning state government here in the state of Wisconsin. The first one is something that is designed this way. The reason there's a hiccup and the Wisconsin Attorney General, Josh Call, Democratic incumbent, going up for re-election this November, but the reason that he can't take unilateral action on this, like attorneys general in Wisconsin have done before, is because of the lame duck session. The Republican legislature in 2018 jumped to action. We know that when they want to, they can. They jumped to action and got it signed off by outgoing Governor Scott Walker to remove powers from the incoming governor and attorney general, Tony Evers and Josh Call, for nothing other than spite, to try to hamstring both of those offices and their abilities to be able to deliver good governance for the state of Wisconsin for their four-year terms. What am I talking about? One of the things that was taken away from the attorney general's office, because that's possessive. I believe that's still that way. When it's plural, it's attorneys general, but I believe it's the attorney general's office. One of those things that was taken away was the ability to settle lawsuits and take those funds and be able to disperse them to the state when the state wins. Something that Brad Schimmel, the former attorney general, Republican, during the time of the Walker administration, didn't do is sign on to lawsuits going on around the country to hold opioid manufacturers accountable for the epidemic that we have seen over several years of addiction. The opioid addiction crisis in the state of Wisconsin was something that the pharmaceutical manufacturers of these drugs knew that they were highly addictive, and recourse was sought by states around the country. Brad Schimmel didn't sign on to those lawsuits. Attorney General Josh Call did. And the state won. It was a part of a lawsuit. And $31 million is coming to the state in opioid settlement money. I guess they didn't win the lawsuit. They won because the manufacturer settled. But this is the headline over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Legislature's Joint Finance Committee objects to Governor Evers' plan for $31 million opioid settlement money. Again, Evers and Call, hamstringed by the outgoing 2018 legislature and outgoing 2018 Governor Scott Walker. Cannot settle this alone anymore. Has to go to the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. And earlier this month, reading from a piece over by at the Journal Sentinel by Corinne Hess, the State Department of Health Services submitted a proposal to the committee recommending how the state should use the money awarded from a legal settlement with pharmaceutical manufacturers and distributors. The National Prescription Opioid Litigation settlement was reached as part of an agreement that Attorney General Josh Call entered into settling the state's legal claims. DHS received its first $6 million payment on July 29th to begin using immediately, while the remaining $25 million is expected by the end of this calendar year. Committee members had until Wednesday to anonymously object to the DHS's plan. Committee co-chairs State Representative Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam and State Senator Howard Markline of Spring Green released a statement after the committee objected to the plan. Quote, fighting the opioid epidemic has been a priority for Wisconsin Republicans for over a decade. Well, I mean, Brad Schimmel did not join onto this lawsuit, so I don't know if that could actually be a factual statement, but that's me editorializing this quote. Back into the quote from the co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee. We remain committed to ensuring our communities have the resources they need to help those with opioid use disorders and their families, they wrote. We have been working with stakeholders to ensure that we are investing in impactful programs without duplicating our efforts. We will swiftly improve the plan to promptly distribute these funds to help combat the opioid crisis that continues to ravage our state. The statement did not include specific objections or discuss alternative uses for the money. And we don't know which of the lawmakers on the Joint Finance Committee anonymously objected to this plan. So not only are they not meeting to do anything legislatively to address problems, even when they're not in legislative session, they're still causing problems by saying, we're going to anonymously object. The state lawmaker that objected to this did not put their name on it because they're cowards. They are holding up $6 million of immediate relief that could go to Wisconsin communities that are in desperate need of addressing the opioid crisis in the state of Wisconsin and getting treatment to the Wisconsinites that need it the most. And they put out some crappy statement saying that they're committed to solving this problem while simultaneously being the only delay in that delivered $6 million relief.
And another side of this is the criminal justice side, that if they were really that interested in solving a problem here, I mean, this is, it's like an automatic moneymaker for them. They have a segment of the population that has opiate use disorder. I mean, they're addicts. Sure, you can say that. But it does go a little farther than that. It rewires your brain at a molecular level, right? And these people then break the law, you know, buying Schedule 1 and 2 narcotics, getting caught, getting charged, prosecuted, sent to jail. You know, all the fees and fines associated with that. It's sort of a cottage industry, you know?
And yes, there's a cyclical nature to all of that. And none of those other problems are being addressed. And they're acting like they're in good faith. These quotes get published as if they're good faith quotes. And again, the only thing that's preventing this $6 million of relief for Wisconsinites that need it most right now are Republicans, while they're simultaneously saying that they're doing everything they can to address the problem. It's crap. If they really wanted to, they could go into legislative session right now and solve those other problems that you just discussed, Evan, or at least debate solving those problems. Mm-hmm. But their legislative calendar is clear for the rest of the year. What calendars are filling up? Well, we know it's back to school coming up soon here. And so this goes into the next area the Wisconsin legislature just is ignoring, not addressing, as we face more crises here in the state. This one over at wisconsinpublicradio.org, WPR.org. School staffing crunch prompts rural districts to make cuts and shuttle staff, survey shows. Now we're talking about rural school districts, the areas that Republican lawmakers in the Wisconsin legislature say that they're fighting for most. You always hear that, oh, well, we're out here to make sure that we're addressing problems for all of the state, not just Madison or Milwaukee. Like they claim Democrats are only out for Madison and Milwaukee. Ignoring the fact that the Evers administration has invested more than any other administration in rural broadband, in working to help rural communities on a number of issues, including revitalizing Main Streets with the Main Street Bounce Back Program that the Evers administration has invested millions of dollars from the American Rescue Plan to go towards small business growth and entrepreneurship. Some of the highest levels in the entire country put into Main Street businesses around the state, not just in Madison and Milwaukee, but around in rural areas as well. That's what the Evers administration is doing. For these rural school districts that Republicans claim they represent and are fighting for in the legislature, they are making cuts and shuffling around staff right before a school year that they are having staffing crunches, everywhere. So this is reading from the piece over by Leah Treidler at WPR. With the first day of school only weeks away, rural districts in the state are scrambling to fill positions, prompting many to cut electives, increase class sizes, and hire unlicensed teachers. Unlicensed teachers in rural school districts because this crisis is not being addressed by the Wisconsin legislature.
Gaining some extra points, too. Unlicensed veterans, you guys.
That's the proposal down in Florida.
And oh, I believe my goodness gracious.
It's almost modeled off of the Walker proposal a number of years ago.
Yeah.
Scott Walker and his administration did something similar to what DeSantis is doing down in Florida. And there's a $3.8 billion surplus. I understand money doesn't solve all of the problems, but you cannot sit on a surplus that large. It would be one thing. I would have some more understanding if funds were tight and there was no way for us to address these problems. But that's not what is happening. Republicans are sitting on the $3.8 billion surplus while we have a staffing shortage, and they are not doing anything to address school districts' needs in rural and in urban communities across the state before the upcoming school year. It's not just something you can throw money at, but money helps recruit more teachers. There's programs out there that you could invest in our schools, make it so that these were attractable jobs and people weren't leaving the profession in droves. There are things that the Wisconsin legislature can do. Government can work when you do it right. And Wisconsin Republican lawmakers are sitting on their hands on things from a teacher shortage to the opioid crisis and not addressing these problems that real Wisconsinites are facing. Instead, they want to talk about Michael Gableman. They want to talk about Harry Waite. They want to talk about how the 2020 election was stolen. And it is disgusting that we have to have the airspace filled with those stories and not actually have conversations about addressing the teacher shortage and addressing the opioid crisis in the state. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon. You're just stuck with Luke and Evan on the board. Taking your phone calls, 844-967-2789. Got one more segment left in the day. Plenty of time for your calls. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. No Brian this afternoon, but we're diving into some of the things that the Wisconsin Republican legislature is not addressing in their 10-month vacation. Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News with Pat Kreitlow on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 FM, 1230 AM in Wausau, was talking about how he describes what the legislature is doing. It's a terrific show. If you haven't checked out Pat's new show, it's been on for about 2.5 weeks. You can go check out the podcast or tune in on Bull Falls Radio weekday mornings from 8 to 11 a.m. And Pat described it as a heist. The Republican legislature is trying to get away with a heist. That's what they want. They don't want to address the problems that we're having right now because they are gambling that if a Republican wins, now we know who the Republican candidate is, if Tim Michaels wins the governorship this November, they're going to use that $3.8 billion surplus to cut taxes or go to their wealthiest campaign contributors. That's what they're gambling. They believe that they can get away with this heist. And they think it's likely, so they're not going to act on it now. They're not going to try to deliver and show, hey, this is what Republicans stand for. Believe the top issue for Republican voters, the state of Wisconsin, with the most recent Marquette University Law School polling released yesterday, believe 91%'s top priority was crime. But Republicans in the state of Wisconsin aren't coming up with ideas of how to address crime. They're just talking about how it's their number one priority. They're not looking to address the opioid crisis and get treatment for the people that need it most because they're anonymously objecting to the immediate $6 million relief from the opioid settlement. And I have a feeling they're going to object to the remaining $25 million that is expected to come to the state by the end of the year because they don't like it when government works. Their entire platform, they don't have a platform. Their only guiding principle is that government doesn't work. And they believe in it so thoroughly that they want you to vote for them so they can show you that government doesn't work. It's disgusting. And we are not seeing any new ideas. This is something that Brian likes to talk about on this show all the time. Is when you're getting into conversations with conservative-minded individuals in your daily life, ask them what their conservative solution is to the problems they claim are their top priorities. That's what I'd love to hear. How are Tim Michaels, Senator Ron Johnson, how are these Republicans running for election this fall? How are they addressing those top problem issues? What's the Republican plan to combat inflation? Because they all voted against the Inflation Reduction Act that passed Congress and was signed by President Joe Biden this week. They all voted against it. They didn't have a plan to address inflation. They don't. It doesn't exist. It's like the former president's healthcare plan. Oh, you'll see it once I get elected. Oh, he was elected. And then we never saw it.
And let's be clear. It's not just like it's malfeasance. It's not for lack of not trying, if that makes sense.
They
it's
don't
not
want like government to work.
Exactly. This is intentional.
They are effectively trying to show that government can't work by showing you that government doesn't work because they're on a 10-month paid vacation.
Government doesn't work. Elect me and I'll prove it.
Yeah. That's the easiest self-fulfilling prophecy ever. Oh, yeah, this isn't going to happen. Elect me and I'll show you it's not going to happen. Oh, wow, nothing happened because I didn't do anything. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents. We're going to head over to the phone lines before the end of this show. We got Falcon here in Madison calling in. Falcon, what's on your mind today?
Hey guys, great show. I mean, you're nailing most of the stuff that I was going to say, but it's like if you're not going to let the if you're not going to do anything, which you're obviously not. I mean, since they're not planning on doing anything, could you just get out of the way? But no, that's not good enough for them either. They have to be in the way because, God forbid, the Democrats actually pass something that helps people, because that's one thing the Republicans never want to do is help anyone, unless, of course, it's a corporation or a billionaire. Then they'll help them.
They help the multimillionaires too, Falcon. The multimillionaires don't get left out there.
Oh, geez. I'm sorry, guys. And, you know, I feel so sorry for you multimillionaires. I left you out. But, I mean, they probably want to take the opioid crisis money and give it to the pharmaceutical companies because we passed this bill that's going to, you know, let people negotiate on drug prices. So they really need the money now. So we're just going to give them that opioid money. I mean, these people are so backwards and so out of touch. That should be their slogan. GOP, out of touch with America. I mean, every issue you look at, they're in the minority. You're in the minority on abortion rights. You're in the minority on legal weed. You're in the minority on anything that they stand for. They're on the wrong side. So that should be their slogan, out of touch.
Yeah, I think it's fitting. I don't know if I don't know if we're going to be able to get them to go tout that flag on their own, but I believe it is a banner that they should have to wear, Falcon, and I appreciate the phone call. You can be like him, 844-967-2789. They're absolutely out of touch. And if we're not talking about these issues, it just continues flying under the radar. Because they're getting away with it in areas around this state and around the country. This isn't something new. The Wisconsin Republican Party has been playing this game plan for the last decade. This is their strategy. They tell you that they hate and bemoan people that do identity politics. And then all they do is identity politics. All they want is to own the libs. That is the guiding principle. Besides the fact of government doesn't work, we want to own the libs. We just want to win. We're winning for winning's sake. But the problem is now as well that they don't even acknowledge when they don't win. And that's getting back to the point of why it was such a problem that Gableman was allowed to go on his charade for 14 months. And now we have to deal with individuals like Harry Waite and Adam Steen in the state, because I wish there could be a moderate Republican Party here in the state of Wisconsin, but it's not what we have. It's been constructed through gerrymandering, through rigged maps, to have the only accountability for elected officials in the Republican Party in this state is from the right. And that's not accountability. That's just a farther
partisanization.
That word. Thank you, Evan. It's a Thursday. It's getting really close to the weekend. It's almost the end of the show. But we're seeing this hyper-politicization, there we go, of these districts, where Robin Voss isn't going to lose to a moderate in his district. The only time that he's going to lose or come close to losing is from a fringe candidate that is refusing to accept the results. He hasn't conceded yet. Adam Steen has not conceded, and now he has an ally in Harry Waite, who is contesting the election results on the grounds of, well, the former guy contested the results when he lost the presidency, so I can contest these election results now on behalf of the candidate that I want to win. And when you're not talking about these issues and saying how Republicans aren't doing anything to address the problems, but only complaining about the problems, this is the logical end of the conclusion. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you missed any portion of the show, go check out the podcast. You can find that podcast on Apple and Spotify, as well as on civicmedia.us. We'll be back tomorrow at 2 p.m. to talk to you then, wrapping up the week of Wisconsin headlines right here on Dueling Tangents. Put your love in the